I tell you what, no wonder I get butterflies whenever I try to do this. But, you know, in following what Joe likes to do, too, I think that it would be in this particular scripture, I got some writing down here that the name of this message, if there's any message here, is called The Lion in the Forest. The Lion in the Forest. If you will, if you have your Bibles, let's stand and read the 12th chapter of Jeremiah. We're going to read this first part. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. It says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee in thy judgments, of thy judgments. Wherefore, why?" In other words, what are you saying here? Is "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yet they have taken root. They grow, and yet they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth. Thou art near in their mouth, but far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and hast tried me. Mine heart toward thee, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and people, and prepare them for the day of the slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wicked of them that dwell therein, and the beasts that are consumed, and the birds, because they said, and he shall not see our last end." Now this next part of scripture here is God's answer to Jeremiah. "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how shalt thou contend with the horses in the land of peace, wherein thou troublest and wearied thee? Then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dwelt treacherously with thee, yet they have called the multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. I have forsaken my house, I have left mine heritage, and I have given the dearly beloved of my soul to the hands of their enemies. My heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore I have hated it." You can sit down if you want to. I'm going to have a word of prayer here. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray, Father, you'd look down, Lord, and help us, Lord, to understand thy word. Give us those things that we need, Lord, as we've heard these songs about thy wonderful, thy son that has, and the things, Lord, that you've given to us, Father, the blessings that you've given to us. And Father, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, that I can expound on this scripture, Lord, as you have given it to me. For I know I'm not worthy, Lord, of thy goodness. Not worthy to be standing here, but I know, Lord, you know all things, and you're able to reach and to touch those, Lord, that might be here that need your touch. Now, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, when you start looking at the scriptures by the types and shadows that God has given you, you find here's Jeremiah. In a time, in a situation, it's one of the worst times that had ever happened for him. People had begun to reject God. There was no strength in the believers of God. And Jeremiah asks him this simple question. He said, "Why is that we see so many things taking place across this country?" And he's talking of his own country. And I want to remind you of something here. Israel is America. It's spiritual America. America is spiritual Israel. When you see scriptures referring to if my people and the many things that we see over there where he's talking about Israel and the concept here, God is explaining in the Old Testament the things that take place to people that reject God. And I know everybody looks at me and says, "Man alive, you're going to preach another one of those doom and gloom messages." No, I'm not. But I'm just trying to let you know that where our country has been headed. Because he answers his question here that we have so many questions. Why is it we see so many things taking a place in this country? When you look, there's one thing that really struck out with me in this is the several times that God says, mine heritage, the heritage of God, that God has given this country, America. I want to tell all the kids here especially that if somebody in your, the teachers today sometimes run America through the mud and all these things, this is the greatest country that God has ever lived. Amen. The greatest Amen. Country that ever has been. There's no country blessed with, I mean, it's beyond the concept of mankind, what God has given. Even, I read not long ago, last time I was here, and we talked about it with, about the towers that had failed, and how George Washington, on his first statement about America, was, it is impossible for this nation to have even existed without the invisible hand of God. Amen. Abraham Lincoln, they say sometimes, was an atheist, but it is he that said, it is impossible for anyone to conduct the affairs of men without God Amen. In his heart. This nation is the greatest nation that has ever been on the face of this earth. We were ordained especially that the gospel of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be carried throughout the world and for the protection and the help of Israel. I'm going to tell you something. Those two things. Remember in the 12th chapter of Generation, it says of Genesis, it says, he was saying to Israel, he said, I will bless them that bless you and I will curse them that curse you. America was born out of a revolution in 1776, and out of it was born, and was, as a matter of fact, instituted the government with Christian men sitting down around a table and saying, this is the Bible, it's God's Word, and beside it they wrote the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence. God's hand has been in every concept of this nation. Listen. This nation has won all the wars that it went out to help other people. And I'm serious. We went to foreign shores. We laid down thousands of young men on the shores of Normandy to free France. And then when the war was over, even with Japan and Germany, we never took a foot of their ground, but helped them to restore themselves. No nation is like the United States. Never. Every time you think of being in this country, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, that I was born here and given all the opportunities. But yet, for some reason or another, as Jeremiah was saying here, he said, "There's when God responded to him in that eighth verse, he said, it's like a lion in the forest. Something has happened. Our churches across this country, and I'm not talking about our church is strong. Because we have a man that stands every week in this pulpit that preaches the gospel of God. The Bible is read and conducted the way the Lord wants it to. And you children are learning about the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of heaven that sent him forth to save mankind. But we're talking a little bit about America. We've done in this country what other countries couldn't do. We have made all of the discoveries of energy. We finished, hey, by the way, we put a man on the moon. Didn't the world didn't do that. The United States of America did that. We finished the Panama Canal back in the 1900s when nobody else could do it. Could join the oceans. Amazing. All of the discoveries of science, of MRIs, and all these many things, all of these things, where did they come from? America. The help for everybody in the world. Mother Teresa. All those years that she spent in India or where was Bombay or wherever it was, who helped her? Americans. Americans has done all the many things that God's given us. But for some reason or another now we struggle. Many of our churches are there that we see our government, who is supposed to be of us, doing so many things that's against the goodness of America. America, God's greatest gift to the world is the Lord Jesus Christ, and guess who would drove the wagon that delivered the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the world? America. Sherry and I one time went to a Southern Baptist convention, and while we were there, this was out in San Antonio, Texas, They sent out 700 missionaries throughout all the world. America ordained the Christian faith that's delivered all the things that America's been, all the blessings that have come. But yet, for some reason or another, here we see things that are not like we want to see them taking place in this country. Suddenly, we find ourselves in a situation where that this country can... Jeremiah was asking in this first verse, he said, why? Why is it that the wicked prosper? Why is it that those that would condone evil across this land are accomplishing these things? Jeremiah saw it. It was a time that he struggled with, as we do today. And he says, why is it that the wicked prosper? And he said, why is it they deal treacherously? And he said, Lord, it looks like that you planted them, that you've allowed them to grow. It looks like from this effort, he said, that they've gone on with. It says, thou, Lord, knowest me, and thou hast seen me. You've tried my heart, and you pulled them out like sheep for the slaughter. He said, it's as if you're against us, Lord. How long shall we mourn for the herbs of the field? How long will we see all of the tragedies and things taking place across this country? And then God says to him in his response here, which I would say to our country today, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee. In other words, when the test was not that big of a test, when we as Christians had the greatest opportunities, but yet then we turned our back. Our country, for some reason or another, has gone this way where that we rebel against God. We don't care anymore for some reason or another, and the Christians need to respond across this country. We have to turn our back on those things that we cause compromise and condoning that which is evil. He says here in this scripture, I read an article, and I mentioned it this morning in Sunday school lesson. Charles Portman, a humanist, wrote, humanism for the new is the new religion. By the way, it's accepted by many colleges. You know, and that's an amazing thing to me, because we got a lot of students, kids here that have gone to college and are going to college here. Almost all of the colleges and universities across America were established by churchgoers, Christians, the Christian church. I think it was around 29 to 30 of the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence were preachers or clergymen. That's amazing to me that now they can say that it was just a document, that a lot of these men were just... they were atheists and deists and stuff like that. A lot of people claim to be that. And George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, all these men made these great statements. George Mason University started after one of them. You know, but yet, Charles Porter said this. The educational system in our nation is our most powerful ally. He's a humanist, and his book has been adopted by many of the educated. He's one of the most allied. Churches get children 1 hour a week, but we can teach humanism for 5 days a week, up to 6 hours a day. In other words, we can adopt this humanist idea that there is no God. And 51% of the young college freshmen, they go into colleges all ready to go and excited about going to college and learning, and yet then we put a humanist professor in front of them and he tells them that there is no God. 51% after 4 years will reject their Christian faith. That's what we're facing today. We're a lion. God has made the church a lion. Remember what the man said in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, when he looked up? He said, behold, I looked up in heaven. This is in the fifth chapter of Revelation. And he said, what do you see? He said, I see a lion. The church in America started out to being a lion, strong and faithful. The strength is still there. And I believe that God's going to turn this country back. And I'm not talking about us, but I'm talking about our young people need to go out into the world and let people know where they stand. Amen. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, of course, was on the book of Daniel, where Daniel drew a line in his life. And he said, I will not pass that line. We're a lion. Then he goes on to say something here. He says in these verses here, he said, if you run with the footman, in other words, when being a Christian was easy, you failed. How will you contend with the horses when it gets tough? Some people like to point that to the apocalypse horses, the four horsemen that will eventually come. Listen, I'll tell you something. It can get rough in our nation, the most blessed nation in all the world. It can. But he says here, he says, Jeremiah, your people ran with a footman, and you didn't do that good. How will you contend with the horses? And then he goes on to say, on down here in this scripture here, he said, I have forsaken my house. Would God forsake his house? Yes. If we don't conduct the affairs that God has made in his righteousness and with his word, and some people no longer even go to the church with a Bible anymore. They no longer care for it. There's a lot of churches throughout this land that don't even talk about repentance. Listen, in order to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to repent of your sin, accept him and believe on him and declare him as your Savior. That's right. You have to look to an almighty God of heaven and him showing you his son who died for you. As Robert just sang about, when he was on the cross, every person here, he was on your mind. You were on his mind. Y'all forgive me sometimes, I'm getting old. Forget things. I was telling him in Sunday school I have to look at notes all the time now. I didn't used to have to do that. But I ain't worried about it. I'm just going away the way that the Lord will have us to go. There'll be other people that will here conduct the services at Hiram First Baptist Church, and some of us will move out of the way and move on. I'm looking forward to it to some extent. I ain't no hurry. I ain't no hurry. But then he goes on to say this, and the point of the message here is that we have the strength. We have the power. But our churches in America have grown weak and looked at the world more as, well, I don't mind all this, but I'll... But I even heard, matter of fact, I heard a guy telling me, or seemed like he was telling me, it seemed like it was on the radio, though, but this guy was angry. He had called in and said the preacher had brought the deacons in together at this church, and he told him, he says, you know what? He says... I don't want there to be any conviction in our church. Therefore, I will not preach on hell anymore. I will erase that. That's happening in a lot of places in this country. And so they've rejected the precepts of God's word. Because you know what? We have to come clean in order to find God for our hearts. I mean, there's nothing that I can pray that he doesn't know already. 65%, and that's growing, of the churchgoers in this country now believe that Christ is not the only way to heaven. People have been so watered down. It's like I say, the church is like a lion that's standing there waiting in strength, but we're in the forest of distractions. So many things challenge us. Well, you can't do that. You've got to accept this. You've got to accept that. I'm not saying that we reject anybody. Anybody that comes through that door has a right to come to the house of God and hear the gospel and to accept Christ. But when you take something that you know is outside of the will of God and make it a part of your life, then you've become a weak lion. You've weakened that which you know to be strong. You have to, young people, you have to draw a line in your life. I'm going with the Lord and nobody else. I'll accept him. I'll live my life for him. I'll keep myself faithful and true to him. I will follow the precepts of his word. That's what Daniel did, the little young boy. That's what David did. Yeah, we're strong. Our church is strong. Our youth are being taught. But... our nation is shaking. There's a scripture in the book of Revelation. I've often read it several times because it confused me, but it was God's lesson to the churches. It's in the third chapter of Revelation. And it says something like this. In every one of these churches, when God's talking to them in this sequence, he says, I know thy works. And he told them the different things. In every one of these, he gives a comment because he knows their works. But then he gives a commendation, and then he gives a reason why he spoke to them. In the third chapter of Revelation, in the 14th verse, he says, I know thy works. He's talking to the church of Laodicea. Thou art neither hot nor cold. In other words, you don't care. You don't care. As long as it doesn't affect me, I don't care. Thou art neither hot nor cold. Therefore, the implication here is that it makes God sick at his stomach. And he says, I will spew thee from my mouth. In other words, to be rejected of that. The lion in the wilderness. Amongst a world of distraction. You know, I'm on. A lot of times we turn the TV on. Hey, this is a little thing. And sometimes something is on there that we shouldn't see. Sometimes we say something we shouldn't say in the presence of somebody that might be somebody that the Lord's working on. You know? We see all these things take place. Hey, our Supreme Court just made it legal for same-sex marriage, where it's a law now. It's a law now. Not to God's been rejected by the Supreme Court of America. They want to take the Ten Commandments off of all of the posts of all of the judgment houses in our country. They want to remove it. Did you know there's even a move on now to take all of the money and change it and take In God We Trust off of it? All of the universities that I've talked to you about a while, even Harvard, its first motto was Christ, the church, and truth. They've removed Christ in the church and just simply put the truth. They can't have the truth without Christ. You can't do it. Heritage, the heritage of this country. It's like I said a while ago, one of the amazing things to me, when I look back at my own mother and dad, my dad rode a bicycle to work back during the war. And then they raised us four kids, and my mother had to work. My daddy had to work. There was no help for them. No help. Had to take care of us. We was talking about this morning about killing hogs. We used to go out there, beside the barn, put tables out there and kill a hog. Yeah. Neighbors would come, we'd clean a hog, everybody would get together. Everybody loved one another.
Right. Yeah.
The heritage of this country, established by George Washington and all the rest of these guys that put down everything they had, and many of them lost everything they had during the Revolutionary War. Did you know that? And as I said a while ago, the countries, I couldn't name them all. Japan, look at Japan. We defeated Japan. What did we do? Right back over there and rebuilt them. Helped them. The heritage of our great country. And the heritage of this country is the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by that one man, that one man's life, that one man's death. And then I'm not going to leave him on the cross. He went to the grave and then he arose again. By his heritage. We're the lion in this scripture that Jesus, that the Lord's talking about. And he goes on down there, and like I say, he says in this seventh verse, I have forsaken mine house, I have left mine heritage, I have given the dearly beloved of my soul unto the hands of their enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. Now, if there's anything in this message that I would like for y'all to really get, is this, especially you young people. When you meet or confronted in this world by those that are against our faith, you're a lion. You're part of the great church that Jesus Christ established. And the distractions that are in this world today He goes on to say here, he said, I'm not even going to leave it there. I'm not going to leave it there. Here's what he says, because always in God's word, he always leaves a way of repentance, a life, way for somebody to come back. Read the 9th or the 10th chapter, I believe, of Isaiah, where we talked about the buildings that fell down when we were talking about New York City. The Bible says in several verses there, he said, my hand is still extended. He's still extended to this country that we live in. And then he says here in this scripture, in the 15th verse now, we're going to the 15th verse of the 12th chapter. He says, and it shall come to pass that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass that if they will diligently learn the ways of my people and swear by my name, the Lord liveth, they taught my people, they'll swear by Baal, they shall be built in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, I'm going to give you this solemn warning, because always in God's word, even with that famous scripture, if my people which are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways, my people is the church. We're in this mess in this country today, not because of the evil out there. It's because the lion has quit roaring. It's because the lion has quit voting. It's because the lion has quit standing for what was right. But he says, if my people, if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation. I know everybody says, well, doggone it, every time you preach, I always feel bad when we go home, worrying about our country. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying that, I'm just telling you about the warnings that I see. Any country that rejects God has been turned away. And our nation, I see the very foundations of our nation is shaken today. We see opportunity after opportunity for our country to turn around, but yet it will not. The Bible says that in one place in the Bible, he said he loved us so much that each one of us is wonderfully made. Each one of us, he loves us. We're closest to his heart. And as Mandy and sang and all the songs today about there's always, God's always, his hand is always extended. Always extended. While I get a song,
right.
And I don't know what we can do to help them, but we need to make sure that this is not taken from our family.
That's right.
And I didn't mean to interrupt
you. That's fine. That's fine. Anybody else have anything to say? Hey, I do more teaching than I do preaching, because I teach. But I'll ask you, anybody has anything to say, you just stand. I'm going to tell you something. This heritage that I was talking about in this country here, and we're seeing it fall away, as I said a while ago, it's not because of the lost. It's because the church has failed. It's because we've not stood up where we need to stand up. We've not voted a lot of times where we should have voted. I mean, the rights and the opportunities that we have, your most prized possession in this country outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is your right to vote.
Amen.
And to reject those things that you know that's wrong. And we've got to do that more in this country today. But the main thing for every person here is this. It's not a community decision whether you've accepted Christ or not.
Right.
If you've never professed Christ as your Savior, you need to come here and do that.
Amen.
And it's not because of anything I said, but it's because of what he might put in your heart.
Yeah.
Accept him and believe. And maybe someday the lion will no longer be hidden in the forest of distraction. But someday this lion, I believe God's going to turn this country back. I believe there's a great evangelist. He may be this tall. I don't know how tall he is right now, but I believe a new Billy Graham is fixing to come on the scene. Amen. And God's going to bless him. If you will, Mandy, go ahead.
For the sinner blind to searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old, there is a remedy for every sin sick. All the pain and hurt and wrong, there is a solution. For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For the bitter, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and the discouraged and dismayed, for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wrong, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong, there is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong, there is a solution. For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For every tribe and every nation, every color, every race, every tongue and every language, every time, there's a healer. discouraged? And why do the shadows come? And why does my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When
I tell you what, I have to say, I know that maybe sometimes I say too much. Emily's unique. She come down here and thanked the Lord, I think, for his blessing, because how many, if you think about it, There's two ways she's unique. One way is she got three sets of grandparents. That's unusual. But another way is she's a young person that had to face something that only God could take care of. You know what? And I believe Emily, and I'm not bragging on her, but her faith in Christ is what brought her through all this. Isn't that right? Her faith in Christ. and the prayers of all the folks around her. That's what brought her through all this. But now she's a lion. And I'll tell you why she's a lion. Because they told her that she had this brain tumor. And you know what she immediately did? She named it Herman. And I said it to her a while ago. I said, Herman's gone. She said, Herman's gone. You know, today, a lot of times, one of the expressions that a lot of people use is whenever they hear about somebody that's having a problem or something, they say, I'll be thinking about you. And I say, why would you want to think about me? Pray for me. Amen. Got a young man here.
We got some here. This young man, I'm not sure I can handle this. His name is Austin, right? He come down. He's his mother. You his mother? I didn't know. Hey, Kim. He said, Austin wants to be saved. I said, amen. Hallelujah. So, whew, me and Austin, we got down there with Brother Allen, and I gave him the scripture, and he read it, and I said, all you have to do is believe and ask him to come into your heart and save your soul. And did he save you, Austin?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. We got one here. Hang on this for a minute.
Okay.
Okay. They want to join the church, too. Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness, we got a young baby in Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. When we constituted this church, this all these buildings, here, y'all sit right over there. We got to get your card. Get them filled out. We constituted this building. Us deacons went around.